We have been going through a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, looking at God's kingdom culture. Today we wrap up the series by looking at the last petition in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 verse 13. The verse that says, do not bring us to a time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. And this is how the New Revised Standard Version translates it. But many of us would know, the other version that is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Therefore, we will take this opportunity to look at facing temptations, and I hope to draw some insights from Jesus' own temptation in the wilderness that might help us in facing our temptations. Now, the story of Christ's temptation in Matthew 4 is one of the most famous passages in the Bible. I have preached on this passage right here in this church in the past. But this morning I'm looking at the same passage, but from a different angle than before. But before we get there, let me first clarify this verse, this petition in the Lord's Prayer. As I have said, we have different translations of this verse in Matthew 6:13. And you can see the two different versions here. From the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV, and the NIV, the New International Version. Now, the reason why there are different translations is because the original Greek word for temptation can also mean testing or time of trial. So the translators have to make a judgment call as to which meaning is intended here. In the past, the temptation version is a more popular version and common. Hence, that is how most of us learn and memorize the Lord's Prayer when we recite it. But I personally think that the NRSV got it more accurate here. And I think it is better translated as, "Do not bring us to the time of trial." I think the version that says, "lead us not into temptation," may suggest to us that God leads us into temptation. And so it sounds like we are asking God to, please don't lead us into temptation. It comes across like God is tempting us, or that God brought temptation to us. But scripture clearly teaches us elsewhere in James chapter 1 verse 13, for example, that God does not tempt us. James 1:13 says, "No one, when tempted, should say, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one." However, scripture does teach that God might test us. For instance, Genesis 22 described how God tested Abraham by asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. But of course, God didn't really want the sacrifice. He provided a ram later on for a sacrifice and saved Isaac from being killed. But it was a test. It was a test of Abraham's faith in God. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone." God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out, so that you may be able to endure it. Now, we can still pray, "Lead us not into temptation," as long as we remember that it does not mean that God tempts us, but rather it is our own sinful nature and sinful desires that tempt us, along with the devil, the evil one. And that is why we ask for God's rescue or deliverance from the evil one. But why would God test us? Why would God test us? Well, we can think of the analogy of a coach in sports, you know, a sports coach. Because a coach wants to push an athlete to be better and do better and to ultimately be the best that one can be, a coach would often test the athlete to see if they have learned the skills. Sometimes the only way to truly learn some of the skills is to actually, you know, try it out, to go through a trial, an experiment, to be thrown into a deep end sometimes, so to speak. Sometimes you need to go through testing and trials in order to get stronger and better. Likewise, I think God sometimes puts us through some spiritual tests, some spiritual times of trial, in order to help us grow spiritually, to grow in Christ-likeness. So what this prayer, you know, do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. What this means basically is asking God, please let us not sin or fail in the time of testing or trial. You know, right? Or please help us not to fail when a time of testing and trial comes. Now, speaking of Christ, we see that Jesus was led into a time of testing in the wilderness. God tested Jesus, but the devil tempted him. So what are some insights we can draw from these three temptations of Jesus? Well, in the first temptation, Jesus was hungry and tired. He had fasted for 40 days and nights, and the devil tempted him to doubt God's goodness and promises. Just before this temptation, you have to remember, in just a few verses before this, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And they heard a voice from heaven declaring that Jesus was God's beloved Son. And this very first temptation, the devil says, if you are the Son of God. He tries to make Jesus doubt God's promise or God's declaration that Jesus is God's Son. And he tempts Jesus to use his power to turn stones into bread to feed himself. Now, feeding yourself and eating bread, they're not bad things. But if you do it because you doubt God's goodness and God's promises, then it becomes a temptation to doubt God. A clue to understanding this is from the quote that Jesus gave as a rebuttal to the devil. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. But let me give you the context so that you can understand what is happening. Let me just read Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 to 5. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. So Jesus quoted from a passage that speaks of the Israelites wandering in the desert as God's testing of the people of Israel, as God humbling them and teaching them that people Do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, Jesus is saying, just as with the Israelites, God is testing me here. God is teaching me to trust in His provision. Sure, I can turn the stones into bread, but then I will have missed God's lesson for me. So when we face hardships in life, maybe it is financial hardships. We can imagine that when we are struggling to make ends meet, for example, we might be tempted to find a quick fix, to do something illegal even, or something unjust, to get an extra quick buck here or there. Or if we have bad health, maybe physical pain, maybe even death in the family, we can be really tempted to doubt God's goodness to us, to doubt God's provision and God's promises, and to start taking things into our own hands. We need to trust that God provides. Maybe He does not alleviate the problem or make the hardships go away, but maybe instead, God gives us strength and courage to endure. Maybe God provides wisdom for us to find a way. The second temptation has Jesus in the holy city on the highest peak of the temple. Literally, this was a spiritual high. And the devil suggested that Jesus throw himself down and have the angels protect him, because apparently scripture says so. The devil quoted from Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. Here's a side note. The devil knows scripture very well, and he can even use scripture to tempt you or steer you wrong. Also, taking scripture verses literally does not mean you are safe. In fact, sometimes, as in this case, taking a Bible verse literally is going the wrong way. So, what is the nature of this temptation? I think this is the kind of temptation that comes when you are on a spiritual high, so to speak. This is important to remember. You're not only tempted when you are, going through hard times and difficult times, but even when you are spiritually doing well, you can be tempted too. You may be faithfully following the Lord, reading your Bible, evangelizing to people, your prayer life might be strong, yet that can be the time when you fall into spiritual pride, for instance. This spiritual pride can be subtle. In our pride, we might just start taking God for granted. We can start presuming on God's grace or God's protection or presuming on God's promises to us. Where in physical hardships, we can start doubting God's goodness or protection, in spiritual heights, we can start presuming on God's goodness and protection. And that's not right either. God is not a performing monkey at our beck and call. God is good. God is gracious and loving. But God is still free. God is free to do whatever He wants. God owes us nothing. God does not have to save us or protect us or even keep His promises, technically speaking, so to speak. So we cannot take God for granted, and we cannot, test Him in this way. Oh, God promised this, so we can just go ahead and tempt fate, so to speak. Jesus is saying, don't test God. Don't presume on God. Or to put it positively, we need to have a healthy fear of God's freedom. just because your spiritual life is on a high and everything is rolling well, do not presume that you have God at your bidding. Finally, in the third temptation, the devil showed Jesus all the glories of the kingdoms of the world and offered them to Jesus as long as he bowed down and worshiped him. We had seen that physical tough times can bring temptations to us, but when things are going super well, when we have material success or vocational success, when we have the big house, the big car, the big paycheck, when we have built up our own little financial empire or kingdom, so to speak, we can also be tempted. We can be tempted to forget God. In tough times, we can doubt God. In spiritually high times, we can take God for granted. But in successful times, we can forget God. Instead of having God in the center of our lives, we end up serving and worshiping something else in our lives. Now, worship means more than singing praises to God. Worship means putting God in the center of your life, and everything else in your life revolves around God. When we are too successful, we can end up putting something else in the center of our lives. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's fame. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's our careers. Maybe it's our lifestyle. Something else becomes an idol in our lives. And our lives revolve around that idol instead of God. We need to submit to God's centrality in our lives. We need to remind ourselves to worship God and to serve Him only. In the end, that is the best way to prepare us to face temptations. There is no magic bullet to foolproof ourselves against temptations. Rather, it is daily putting God in the center of our lives, to have God's truths dwell in our hearts, to immerse ourselves deeply into God's word, and to serve God, not only at church, but in all areas of our lives, in all of our relationships, in all that we do. God, or Jesus, is a king of our lives, and our lives are part of God's kingdom. Let us pray. Dear God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, thank you that you are faithful and you do not test beyond what we can bear. But we pray, as you taught us, do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Help us to learn and be shaped by your word. Help us to trust in your provision, to respect your freedom, and to daily and intentionally put you in the center of our lives, so that we will serve you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.